9.
Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, praise God. I'd like you to welcome our radio listening audience on 107.9. Amen. Give a loud shout and welcome them. Amen. If they listen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to invite those who listen to my radio to come out and be a part of our regular services at 2100 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida. Of course, our service is at 10 a.m. Amen. And your life will be blessed. Hallelujah. Call us, amen, if you need prayer, 904-757-3226, amen. And so we thank God for your life, amen. We have some upcoming men and women conferences, so stay tuned. We want to invite you to attend those, amen, amen. So we're preparing to go into the Word of God. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22, the Word of God said, and Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Amen. Have faith. Say that with me. Say, have faith in God. Amen. So here we're going to cover this morning briefly, provoked to act and speak. Say that with me. Say, provoked to act and speak. Okay. Now, being provoked can be negative or positive, but we want you to be provoked by God, by the love of God, to act and to speak. And this is, I want to show you some things in your walk of faith. We're going to be over in Hebrews again, of course. And then we're going to go, of course, over Hebrews chapter 11. We hadn't gotten that far. So in the book of Mark, the scripture says, and I want to read it all with you. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Amen. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, here's an interesting thing about this, and it's we've been ministering in order to magnify this, because the answer to victory in your life is like the elephant in the room. It's like the elephant in the room. It's right there, and people are missing it. The elephant in the room. I like that statement. It means like, it's so big you can't miss it, but you can miss it. And Jesus says it. He's saying, he's telling us in the teaching, in this scripture right here, the major thing is what you say. The mountain is responding to your words. The greatest area of transformation, somebody say transformation. The greatest area of transformation in the life of the believer, spiritually, of course, you get born again, but after you're born again, the greatest, most difficult change is what you say. It's changing your words. It's changing your words. Many of the words you use, you are habitually bound to those words and those statements, and they control your life. Hold your place in Mark 11:22, and go over to Romans real quick, and we'll come back. Romans 12, I'm going to show you something there. In Romans, it's not far away. I'm going to show you something there. And then we'll move quickly. We won't keep you long in Romans. Amen. Hallelujah. When you're there, say amen. All right, in Romans 12, I know you, many of you know it hard. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, he says, submit your body, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But then it says, renew your mind. But in order to stop being conformed, in order to stop the process that's going on in our lives as lost people, and go and tap into the process with God that produces victory, it involves a transformation of our thought life. It's easier to stop doing certain things than it is to stop thinking and saying certain things. Because you say and think more things than you do, by a large margin. You know, the word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that right? It's saying the overwhelming amount of what is in your heart is coming out of your mouth. Not everything in your heart is coming out of your mouth, but what's in your heart in magnitude is what's coming out of your mouth. And if you compare the amount that's in your heart with what's coming out of your mouth, the amount in your heart is far larger. But if you compare that with how much you do, how much you do is a lot smaller. It's a lot smaller. We look at, I'm going to go away from this, I'm going to go back, because we're talking about faith in God. We're talking about the believer being provoked to act and speak. To get a hold of your life, you've got to put certain things in perspective. And the perspective is the work that's necessary to shut up and change what you're saying, which means you've got to change what you're thinking. Now, I know we've taught it before, but I'm giving you a different angle on it. It bears repetition, because a lot of what's inside of you, some of it you don't remember when it came or how you got it. Our life habits come as thoughts before they become acts. They come as thoughts before they become acts. If you have a habit that you're programmed to do it, it used to be a new thought to you. It was a new thought at one time. It grew and became a major thought, and you start doing it. But you start speaking it, then you start doing it. Now, all right, so it says, all right, and well, why are you telling us, Pastor? Because we are the one that must reverse the process. When you control the process, you can control the outcome. But if folks just preach to you about what you're doing wrong, you won't know how to change the process, so you won't keep repeating it. Otherwise, what people do wrong is not really the problem. It's what they think wrong, because that's what God looks at. What you do that's wrong, what we do that's wrong, or what we do that's wrong or sin or not pleasing to God, it's a thought before it became an act. And it was a word before it became an act. When it became an act, it was at stage 3. The Bible says, know thyself. What are you thinking about now? Well, I'm thinking about eating right now, Pastor. Well, that's not bad, because you're eating is good. That's normal. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, you must control the process. And you must put in there what you want to come out. This is why God gave us the book of miracles. He said, put some miracles in there. Put some miracles in there. Put some divine guidance in there. Put some love in there. Put some joy in there. And then he goes over in Joshua 1:8. Okay, just write down Joshua 1:8. And you will see. See, like, here's what we do. Majority of people, we live by And we measure by what we do, what we're doing. You've got to go back further than that and go back and begin to place the focus on what you're thinking, your thought life. Reprogram your thought life with the Word of God. And in between what you think and what you do is where the miracles lie. The miracle lane is in between those two things. But see, we see it as what we think and what we do. No, it's what we think and what we say. You know, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian and you act like a Christian that you are, that's a byproduct of your thought life, which is a byproduct of the Word of God that produced and made you a Christian. You became more of a Christian when your mind was renewed to Christian or to Christian concepts. If you love those that just love you, or you know better than the sinner, if you just love people that love you, Christianity is loving those who don't love you, the unlovable, the undeserving, and the unresponsive. Can I get a witness? Christianity said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what Christianity says as a word. That's what God says. Now I'm going to give you a revelation to do it more hurry up so I can get to it. Amen. And so you say what God said. God said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall God cause men to give unto your bosom. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Now, when God said it, you weren't saying it. You were reading it. Then when you meditated on it, it became your thought. His word became your thoughts. And when his word became your thoughts, you begin to speak it. When you speak it, that's when you start doing it. There's some people that look at that scripture and they're still thinking about it. They're still meditating on it. Well, it's not, they're not ready to act on it yet, because action comes from meditation. You meditate on the word of God, then you'll speak it, then you'll act on it. Are you following me? But even when you don't act, when you speak the word of God, it'll come to pass in your life. You got saved. You're not saved because you do Christianity. You're saved because you spoke it. Because you believe God. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Can you say amen? The process is the same. It's the same with growth in God. Saints, growth in Christianity, it's not all these different sermons you're going to get that you're trying to figure out how to make the Word of God work. It works very simple. And God made it simple. Then you go look at the Word of God and you'll see the pattern all over the Bible. It's the same way all over the Bible. It's all over. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Or unto manifestation. Now, y'all are looking at me, the people on the radio, they can't hear me. They can't see me. But I'm saying the Word of God, what you do with the Word of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. And then here again, and then you meditate on the Word. Amen. You speak the Word of God. Amen. God, he looks at your heart when you put the Word of God in your heart. Amen. He judged originally, man had evil in his heart. He didn't have the Word of God in his heart. And then what comes out of your mouth is determining your life. When you release it out of your mouth, it'll come into your life. But so in Romans 12, 1, it says, be not conformed to this world. Now, here's an interesting thing about conformity. I want to get away from that. When I first heard be not conformed to this world, it meant like, okay, that means so I won't be like the world. So I won't be like the world. It doesn't mean that. It means you already like the world, so you can stop the process that's already dominating your life. Conformity to the world, when you came into the body of Christ, your life was already dominated by the world's thoughts, the world's responses. You were already programmed. The world had programmed you how to think. Now, it's interesting, there are people in America who have Christian values and they're not even Christian because they were exposed to saved people. But here in the body of Christ, when you come into the body of Christ, you already conformed. So you're having to eliminate the work that was already done inside of you. You got to get rid of all that and replace it with the Word of God. The transformation. Come on, somebody say transformation. So the transformation, the transformation that the Word of God is talking about, that's not the new birth. That's not the new birth. That's your soul. That's how you handle situations, how you act. Remember I said go up there and stay up in the love wall? Well, the transformation means you down here. You saved, but you down here. You down here in the gutter with everybody else, but you born again. You got to get transformed to get up here. I mean, in the spirit, you up there, but in the way you functioning, you mad like everybody else mad. You offended like everybody else offended. You responding the same way to life circumstances that lost people do. You got to go up. So the Word of God is designed to take you to another level where what bothers others won't bother you. What hinders them won't hinder you. And your thoughts, the Word of God said that the thoughts of the righteous tendeth only to plenteousness. That's over in Proverbs. The thoughts of the righteous, they tend to plenteousness. And that means your thought life is constantly producing. It's constantly giving ideas, new businesses, new ideas, helping people, doing things, blessing God. I mean, it's just constantly producing a thought. In other words, your thought life would tend to produce. And Solomon said that. When your mind is on God, it produces. It's very productive. The mind on God is very productive. Amen. You spend time in the Word of God, your mind goes to a level that it can't go to. There's no drugs that can outdo the power of God in your thought life. Say they tend to plenteousness. Written by a wise man. So the Word says, and renewing of your mind, verse 22, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. All right. Now, okay, many of you know that by heart, and you know the scripture, but it's not knowing it, it's the process, the working on the process, because as your mind is renewed to prosperity, renewed to walking in love, it's renewed to victory, it's renewed to your identity in the Lord. Amen. How many of your mind is renewed to your identity in Christ Jesus? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You've been made the head and not the tail. How many of you had a situation? The situation was telling you you wasn't the head and you were the tail. And you had to tell the situation, no, I'm the head and not the tail. You had to speak to the situation, no, that's not for me. I'm this. All right? Now, go back to Mark 11. Go back to Mark 11. I'm going to show you something else here. Am I helping somebody? I want to keep it, you know, real and really practical. But the Word says in Mark, Jesus answered, said, have faith in God. And so in verse 23, here's where we miss it and overlook it. It's right here in the scripture. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain shall say unto this mountain. Whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. All right, now, this is where the concept of confession, our profession, amen, is crucial. Now, we'll go over to Hebrews, because we talked about Jesus is the high priest of our confession. What this is telling us, we are to confess the word within the boundaries and the realm of reality of what Jesus has accomplished, or what God wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Everything that Jesus accomplished, everything. Now, do you know Jesus had to accomplish another name, a new name? His name is an award given to him. Yeah, our identity changed with Jesus. Our destiny changed with Jesus. Amen. What we meditate on, our dominion changed with Jesus. Adam and Eve had dominion, they lost it. Jesus got it back. in the dominion, the realm of Jesus. This is why I can say this just in the service. He is the high priest of our profession. If it doesn't line up with Jesus and what he accomplished, it shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. The things that you're looking at, are you following me? Now, get this. When you look at Romans, when Romans was written, Jesus had been died, buried, and raised from the dead at Romans. Romans is telling you, we must think according to the redemptive plan of God and who God has made us in Christ Jesus. We are to think that. We are to meditate on that. We are to speak that. And we are to act that. We said you are the head and not the tail. Over in Romans, Jesus had come up out of that grave. Remember, we took the time in Hebrews. Somebody say Hebrews. I haven't got over there yet, but I'm about through already. But hey, Hebrews over there. We talk about the high priest of our confession, and then it compared Jesus with the other high priest. How many of you read that? I tell you, go and read that. Where it compares the Old Testament priests, and then the Old Testament priests, you had to bring them stuff. You didn't show up at the gate with broke. You come. They come and they brought something, but the blessings of God was on them for a whole year. No enemy could destroy them. They didn't do it. They were in no lack. No sickness or disease was on them. No enemy could put them in bondage. Nothing. Everything worked the way God wanted it to work because of that high priest going into the holiest of holies to secure the blessing. Jesus is our high priest. Now, somebody say priesthood orientation. Now, this may not make, I don't know how to say, make for a good sermon, but it makes for good living, though. Hey, say, listen, if demonic circumstances show up in your life or at your door or stuff that you know is not of God, it does not care how good a church service you had. Oh, we had a great service. Yeah, we had a high time. You don't care nothing about no high time. You better know what to say. That word better come up out of you. You better have the power of God coming up out of your mouth. You better know. When Jesus was confronted by Satan, he said, it is written. I said, not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. He spoke to him. God put power in his words. The scriptures say no word of God is void of power. God's loaded you with his power and his love and gave you his identity. The challenge with believers is to start acting like who you are, thinking like who you are, and speaking like who you are. In any nation throughout the world where people have been oppressed, the oppressor has cut man off from news about himself, information from the rest of the world, and gave him a program that fit the oppressor. That's right. Well, how that work in America? The devil have people scared. Lost people scared. Satan is an oppressor. But you get saved. You get saved. You get your bowl on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. The devil going to hear you. Say it louder then. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. See, you must fit into your identity. Stop thinking you're a warmed over version of who you used to be. You're not the old you warmed up on Monday. And you just you on Sunday. You the new you every day. But you gotta say it for you. You say it. Say it in your house. Say it in your car. All right, but let's go back to confession. This had to do with confession. Christianity, think about this. Christianity was called the Great Confession. See, the scripture says, a man thinketh in his heart what? As a man thinketh in his heart what? But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth doth what? If you thinking it in your heart and it's the word of God, it's going to come out of your mouth. And if it comes out of your mouth, it's coming into your life. There's some things that God has ordained to come into your life if you just be bold enough and speak them. Your relatives say, how did this happen to you? I just heard this message that church pastor was teaching, so I just start saying this. It's from the verse, this whole from the verse over there. I just start saying it, and all this stuff start happening. Hallelujah. Same way salvation just happened, didn't it? It just happened. You just came down and asked Jesus, the preacher say, well, ask Jesus to come into your life and lead you into the prayer. You believe Jesus is God's son? I said, do you believe Jesus is God's son? That he died and was raised from the dead? You believe the dead man got it, was raised from the dead? But they killed him. And so he's alive. You believe that man alive? You actually believe that? You bold enough to believe that? You bold enough to live a life that glorifies God and live in abundance and no lack? You already taken the steps. Now, I've heard some stuff that people believe. I couldn't believe they believed that. Like when I heard how the Mormons got their Bible. I said, what? I said, they believe that? And then when I heard how the black Muslims, how they got there, I said, what? A man did what? He showed up where? In what year? Y'all believe that? I don't believe that. I'm saved, man. That don't make no sense right there. Now, I like that y'all have bean pies. I like that for y'all, that y'all for the brotherhood and all that. But the other stuff, that don't make no sense. I don't believe none of that. Can I get a witness, somebody? I was just reading it. Can you say, see, you call a believer. You call a believer. You load up on your believing. When you come, you don't have time for no show. You need to load up on your believing, on your faith in the word of God. Let me go for sake of time. Praise God. All right, so go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews real quick. Go to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews 9. Now, I was saying provoked to action. God by the Holy Spirit was giving me a revelation there. And I was sharing with you how much of a work it is to deal with what you say, to get your words under control and direct your words according to God's word. So you got to get God's word first. Okay, so here again, here in Hebrews, because it's referencing Jesus, and we said that he's the high priest of our confession. This is why, and we can go to some other areas. This is why we must look at this, and for lack of a better word, you must master or get a very good revelation of what Hebrews is telling us about Jesus, because it's referencing Jesus in the position he is right now. He became the high priest of your confession when he became a high priest. When he was down here and people were slapping him and spitting on him and pushing him before, you know, after he was teaching on his way to the cross, he wasn't a priest then. He wasn't a high priest then. He was Savior. He was going to that cross to be your Savior. Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.airchurch.com. theairchurch.org. That's theHEIR church.org.